I want to be really careful. Like Scripture says, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I don't want to lead us out of his courts. I was reading in the Word, and as I was reading, because of what I was reading, I was started meditating on just the Lord coming upon us and filling us with power. And the more and more I think about that, I've preached on that before and thought on it a lot, but the more and more I think on it and meditate on it and read it in the Word and just allow God to minister to me in my spirit and in my heart about that, it's interesting. It's less and less about power for miracles. I'm not saying that miracles don't happen, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't ask for those. We should. Those are biblical and those are good. And the Lord wants to pour out miracles. The Lord wants to heal. The Lord wants to raise the dead. He wants all those things, and that is so close to his heart. But as I was meditating on it again, the power that is being brought to my heart is this power to stand. It's this power of an indestructible life in the Lord and unmovable. The power of a godly man, a godly woman, a godly church standing in love and in truth. And especially then what we were talking about before during the sharing and then during the worship, man, it was just so going together. And I love when the Lord orchestrates and you see it all coming together. But this power to walk this out, to walk out life in a holy way, in a truth-filled way, in a loving way that would have, in an intercessory kind of way, that would have an impact everywhere we go and would just change people, that would change opportunities, that it would change lives, and that it would change our country and the world. And if it doesn't change because there's always freedom, then at least to give the opportunity and to bear witness, the power of God on us to bear witness faithfully to the end, to the very end, whether that end comes in an unnatural way, if you will, or if it just the end comes because we've reached the end of our lives, whichever. It's just this power of God. So this thinking began with reading in Luke chapter 1. And Gabriel comes to Mary and speaks with her and talks with her about how she's going to have a child and how this child will be given the throne of David. And his kingdom will never end. And then in verse 34, she asks, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be called the Son of God. And this realizing that the Holy Spirit will come on her, the power of God will overshadow her, and from that encounter, she will bear fruit. She will bear Jesus, and Jesus will grow in her womb and then 9 months later be born. And I began to meditate on this and then just understanding the reality of Jesus, even just how God has made us as men and women, and we need to be reminded of that in today's society, that yes, God indeed did create us male and female. And when a husband is together with his wife in an intimate relationship, in an intimate way, the two become one flesh, and out of that unity, as they come together, fruit is born from that. Life is born. Where there were two lives, there's now three. Or if there's twins, four. and so on and so forth. And then eventually the child is born and breathing on their own. And then that's not where it ends. Then there's nurturing and teaching and feeding and all of that. And they grow. And this is the way of God, and this is the way it's meant to be with us. I was reminded of the passage in John where Jesus says, streams of living water will flow from within you. And some of the translations have, will flow from your belly. And the word belly there is the same word for womb, where streams of living water will flow from your womb. Because there is a unity between us and God in our spirit, and from that unity, from that union, from Him coming and overshadowing us and taking us in His embrace, in this intimacy between the Lord and us, we are overshadowed by Him, and there's something born in that, and it's a powerful thing. The word power, so I began to meditate on the word power, and the word power is used over and over and over again in Scripture. And again, we tend to go to the miraculous side of things, which again, is not a bad place to go. I want to emphasize that. I'm not saying that that's a wrong place to go. It's a biblical place to go. But the deeper than the miraculous is the indestructible life of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, humility, wisdom, all these attributes of God. That's the deeper power that the Lord is offering us and that He wants to birth in us. In heaven, there's not going to be any miracles. Do you know that? There's no miracles in heaven because it's just, I guess, one big miracle. But there's no miracles in heaven because there's no need. The sick do not need to be healed. The dead do not need to be raised. There will be no drought, so there doesn't need to be a miraculous rainfall. Nothing like that. But there will be still this power of an indestructible life. We will be living out lives of what we are just grabbing a taste of right now. We're just tasting it. And I don't know about you, but don't think to when the Lord has been pouring in you and pouring through you, and the love that fills you, or the joy that fills you, or the peace that fills you, or the patience that fills you, and how glorious it is, filled with kindness. It's like, where did that come from? Oh my goodness, that was amazing. Filled with gentleness, filled with godly humility. Not this Canadian humility. This Canadian humility is such a cheap imitation, and it's paper thin, and it's so passive aggressive, and it's ugly to the Lord. We're not talking about Canadian humility. We're talking about deep-rooted humility that isn't weak and, oh, I'm horrible and I'm awful. It's this place of, I'm a child of God and I lay my life down. I count others as more important than myself. This humility that is born from a humble God. And when God overshadows us and we allow Him to embrace us and we enter into intimacy with Him, there is just this birth of the character of God and a powerful life. As I was thinking about the power of God, these are the things that my mind goes to and my heart goes to. Again, not that I don't want the miraculous, absolutely, amen, Lord. But the power of an indestructible life. So I began to read in the Scriptures about power, and Jesus promises this power. Luke 24 talks about this. Verse 49 says, He's about to be taken into heaven, and He says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, meaning the Holy Spirit, this counselor, this other counselor that He had been talking about, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Their commission was go into all the world, right? Matthew 28, go into all the world. making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So they had this commission to go, but they were told, don't go until you receive power, till you're clothed with power from on high. Because in order to do what you're called to do, you need to be clothed in power. And it wasn't just about the miraculous. We see the fulfillment of this in Acts, and this, they were clothed in power. And yes, there were miracles, but more than that, what I see mainly, the main thing I see is changed lives. I see cowards becoming bold as lions. I see people who were once running for their lives now standing up and proclaiming truth, no matter what it cost. I see Paul, a person who hated the church and persecuted the church, willing to lay his life down and being patient. Like we were talking, yes, Paul at one point says, you know, I'm a Roman citizen, so he would keep from being whipped. But at another time, he allows himself to be whipped, put in prison. And I imagine it was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he kept silent. And the power of being able to keep quiet. Oh my goodness. The power of holding your tongue when the Holy Spirit says, hold your tongue. The power to love them. The power of Stephen as he's being stoned to pray, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The power of Peter to boldly proclaim truth in the midst of the Sanhedrin who had just crucified Christ. Wait in Jerusalem until you're clothed in power from on high. In Acts chapter 1, we're reminded of this again. On one occasion, while he, Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In missions, I've listened to people speak who have converted from Islam to Christianity. I've heard testimonies and from these Muslim nations, and they say there's two main things that happen. Two different stories. Not that they're mutually exclusive either. It's not that one or the other. It can be both and. One is visions from the Lord, that Jesus comes to meet them in visions and dreams and actually stands before them and talks to them and reveals who he is. And it's like, woohoo, yes, Lord, that's a great mission strategy. If only we could, you know, strategize for that and plan for it and make a budget for it. I don't know. That'd be great. But the other thing that the Muslim converts, or so converts to Christianity, say it's the love of Christians. What they see in the Christians around them as they're being persecuted or as they're sharing the gospel, the genuine love, that's a powerful life. I think of the things that we're talking about today. You know what? Prime Minister Trudeau does not need someone else yelling at him. He doesn't need us as the church calling him a traitor. It grieves my heart, and I believe it grieves the Holy Spirit when we read online people saying, oh, Justin Trudeau's a traitor, and I know the person posting it is a Christian. Fire Trudeau, get rid of him, send him to jail, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't need that. That's weak. That's of the enemy. That's not from God's heart. I pray that Justin Trudeau is surrounded by Holy Spirit-filled, born-again believers who will, yes, speak truth. And if we write letters, may we speak truth, but in love. firm, bold, not cowardly, not beating around the bush. Try not to beat around the bush. Be straightforward, but in love. Are we praying for our prime minister? Are we praying for our premier? Are we praying for our MPs? Are we praying for our MPPs? Are we praying for our municipal government? A powerful life of love. And I believe that's what we see when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples. I know it's easy to look at, you know, the story of seeing the lame man at the gate beautiful of the temple and looking for money and looking for handouts, and Peter turning to him and say, money, gold and silver I don't have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. You know, it's easy to see that and look at that and say, that's what the power is all about. And yes, that is part of the power, absolutely. But you know what? The disciples were performing miracles before the Holy Spirit came on them. So again, I see the main, like they were casting out demons before the Holy Spirit came on them in baptism, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The main thing I see is a changed life. I see courage. I see love. I see a laying down of their own lives. I see kindness. I see Peter willing to go into a Gentile's house. Now, that might not be a big deal to us, but to an Orthodox Jew 2,000 years ago, that's a big deal. Going into a Gentile's house, realizing that Gentiles are called just like the Jews were. That's a big deal. Humbling himself. And then trying to lovingly explain himself in Acts chapter 15 to the council at Jerusalem. That's a power of a changed life. God, change us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians talks a lot about power, actually. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, my message, and this is Paul talking, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. I wonder what that demonstration was. Yes, there's miracles. I think that's part of it. I also think the demonstration of God's power was his life. And he spoke with authority like Jesus spoke, but he also loved the churches. Chapter 4 of that same book, 1 Corinthians, says, but I'll come to you very soon if the Lord is willing. And then, so there's some people talking arrogantly to him and questioning and raising a ruckus. But he says, I'll find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. It's of power. Are we walking in the power of God? Is the power of God changing us? It's so important. Interesting thing about power is, you know, I'll go to 2 Corinthians right now, 2 Corinthians 12. How is power nurtured? How is the power of God nurtured in our lives? How does it grow in our lives? It's very upside down. Or at least, well, we're upside down. He's right side up. So if you remember, Paul was given a messenger of Satan, which is very interesting. I won't get into that. That's an interesting study on its own, how God sent a messenger of Satan. But we see this in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. A thorn in his flesh. And Paul asked for it to be removed 3 times. Verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, he was taken up into heaven and given revelation there. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then he goes on to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. It gives kind of a different perspective, doesn't it? To tough times. I don't know that I have ever gone through something rough and tough and then prayed automatically, where my first prayer was, praise God. Yes. God is perfecting his power in me through this trial. It's easy to counsel others in that. I've done that many times. Oh, you're blessed. God is working in you and working on your heart. You're so blessed. I have been able to, even in the midst of it, I have been able to pray those prayers, Lord, thank you, while I'm in the midst of it. Again, it's not the first thing that came to my mind and my heart, but eventually I did come around and I have prayed those prayers and truly mean it. Thank you. And I have definitely seen it in hindsight. I praise God for every trial that I've been through. And I see how it's drawn me closer to him. I've seen how, man, how it's built the power of God in my life. Again, not for miracles, but to be able to stand and to be changed, to find true joy, to find true peace. And even, I've shared recently about the whole testimony since the golf trip, and especially this last month and a bit, and I was talking with Carlene again about it, and I said, man, in Thailand, I thought God poured out his peace on me, and I thought, man, this is it, like, wow, because it was so much more peace than I ever thought I could walk in. I didn't know how there could be any more than that, and yet what he's done in me this last month or 2 months, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at the peace and the stillness. The peace that I experienced 10 years ago doesn't even seem like peace compared to this. It's the power of God, but it's come through trial and it's come through hardship. It's come through humbling myself to my wife and to my children and to my church family, and it's to God, and it's come through prayers of repentance and seeking his face and pleading with him to change me. It's come through weakness and tears and struggle. And then God just pours out his power, and all of a sudden, like at least for me, it's been times of all of a sudden things are changed and the enemy is kicked out in a moment and things are healed. And this is the kind of power that God speaks of. And his power is most certainly made perfect in weakness. Does it make me want to pray for trial? I heard of someone praying for trial recently. I have to admit, I've never prayed for trial. I have prayed, Lord, change me no matter what it takes, understanding that that might include trial. And I have praised God in the midst of trial. Trial highlights our weakness. But praise God, his power is made perfect in weakness. His power is made perfect in being wronged. His power is made perfect in our inability to solve things, because it causes us to fall on him. Oh, so good. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. I pray also. So he's been praying. I'll start verse 15 just to give you context. For this reason, I need to go back further. I'm not going to. You can read it for yourselves. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope, okay, the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and thirdly, his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength with which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. I pray, part of that prayer is this, I pray that you may know his incomparably great power. May we be raised to life. There are parts of us that are still dead to Christ. I know that you might say, but I'm a believer. Yep. Or there are parts of us that are still in its infancy stage in Christ. Parts of us that don't hear him and don't know him. I pray that we would know the power of God, the power of his resurrection. His resurrection power in us. And I know that we have known it already. I truly believe everyone in this room has experienced that to a certain degree. I pray that we would know it more. That everything that we have tasted so far is just that. It's just a taste. Again, I thought I knew peace. Before Thailand, before June of 2009, I knew that I hadn't fully experienced peace. It began to be formed in me like never before in about, you know, November, December of 2008. And over the next number of months, it began to grow in me. And then there was a moment where, bam, and I thought I knew, like, because it was so much greater than anything I experienced. I thought I knew. And it was great. And I thought, that's peace right there. And it is. It was. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like what's been revealed to me in these last few months is I wonder if God has been saying, even at that moment, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I wonder if at that moment, even like God was saying, oh, Kevin, you ain't seen nothing yet. You think this is peace? Wait till you grab on to what I have for you. And I wonder if he's saying to me right now, as I'm like, wow, this is peace now. That wasn't peace, but this is peace. I wonder if he's saying to me, oh, Kevin, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait until you grab on to what I have for you. See, I don't know what it's like to have peace in the midst of persecution. I don't know what it's like to have the kind of peace that Paul had in the midst of the Philippian jail, his back bloodied and wrongly accused and thrown into jail, and yet he's singing hymns. That very night, he's singing hymns and leading people to the Lord. I don't know that kind of peace yet. Maybe it's in me and I just don't know it because I just haven't gone through that. But again, I'm not going to pray for it, but Lord, your will be done. Do whatever it takes. 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for supernatural miracles, healings, and raising from the dead. No, that's not what it says. Just hold it. Let me read that again because I was wrong. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. That's what the power of God is mainly for. A life for true life and for godliness. I pray that for all of us. I pray that all of us here would know the joy of loving someone that doesn't love you, of being kind to someone who is mean to you and cruel. And not just trying to love them. I'm not saying you shouldn't try. If you're struggling, you need to choose to love them. You need to choose action of love. But I pray that you would know the absolute joy and mystery of deeply loving someone who hates you, where you don't even have to try. You're not trying, it's just there. And where you're taken aback and you say, where in the world did this come from? Why am I not spewing hatred back at them as they're spewing it at me? Like, I hope you all know that. I hope you all get to know that. I hope you get to know what it is to have joy in the midst of incredible sorrow. I hope that we all experience that. I hope you all get to experience what it means to have peace even as your world is crumbling around you. A deep peace that can't be touched by circumstances. I pray that you would know a peace that no one can shake. And that we would no longer have the cheap counterfeit of peace where the only way we can have peace is if everything is going right in our lives. That's such a cheap counterfeit. I pray that we would all know what it is to have peace, even as things are going sideways. Don't get me wrong, I'm not praying that things would go sideways for you. But I pray that you would know these things, that the power of God would so fill you with godliness and life. I pray the same for myself. Joy, kindness, and self-control, and humility, and gentleness, all these things, wisdom. I pray that. And so, Lord, I pray that you would pour your power out upon us. I pray that you would fill our spirit so much with your power that it would burst into our soul and change us. I pray that you'd clothe us with power from on high. Lord, the power of an indestructible life, a life that the enemy can't touch, can't reach that high. In this picture of our souls, right? So we are saved in the Spirit. I have been saved in the Spirit. I am in the midst of working out my salvation in my soul. Right? And I'm getting this picture of, though, our soul being so transformed, our mind, our will, and our emotions being so transformed and lifted so high that the enemy can't touch it. And the only thing he can touch is our bodies, which are yet to be saved. That's what he's relegated to. All you can touch is my flesh. And even that, only by the permission of God. But you can't touch my soul. You can't touch my peace. You can't touch my love. You can't touch my joy. You can't touch my patience. You can't touch my kindness. You can't touch my gentleness. You can't touch my self-control. You can't pull strings in my life anymore. You can't, because we often are, right? Circumstances pull the string, yank the string. We're like a puppet on a marionette, you know, and we just dance to his music. We dance to circumstances. We dance to whatever's going around us. And sometimes, oh, the world's falling around us and down around us. And Chicken Little, the sky is falling and everything. And he's just able to touch this, touch that in our life, touch this, touch that. Oh, I'm so offended. I'm so angry. I'm so filled with hate. I'm so angry. I'm so tired. I'm so all this kind of stuff. And Lord, take us so higher. I got this picture of our soul being lifted so high by the power of God that the enemy can no longer touch it. You just can't reach that high. That's a powerful life. I'll take that over raising the dead any day. Not that you have to choose one or the other. I'll take that over the lame walking. I've prayed for my back to be healed so many times, but I'd take that over my back being healed without hesitation. Without hesitation, there wouldn't even be a moment's thought. I'll take that. Because that's a powerful life. Oh God, fill your people. Pour out. Lord, cover us in your wings. Lord, overshadow us, just like you overshadowed Mary. I just see him. I get this picture of Elijah, right? Remember that child that died, right? Elijah goes, or was it Elisha? They both raised the dead from one point. But at one point, a child dies, and this widow comes to get him, and He goes to a room and finds the child dead there on the bed. He gets on the child, and it's really weird in the English. I'm not sure what it's like in the Hebrew, but it talks about hand to hand, lip to lip. It's like, it's not a corpse. Okay, but overshadowing him. And all of a sudden, breath starts entering back into the... Overshadow me, Lord. Cover me. Cover me. May I be overshadowed by your Spirit and by the power of God. And may what's birthed in me, what continues to grow in me, be an indestructible life. Overshadow us, Lord. Does anyone have anything to add to that? All right. I'm going to pray then. Lord God, this is our prayer. Everything that I pray that you would just take what was said there and get one of the angel scribes to scribe it, write it into a prayer. This is our heart. Lord, would you come and overshadow us? Would you pour yourself over us again and again and again? We want to live lives that are worthy of you. We want to live lives that cause people to turn to you, to cry out to you. We want to live lives where that are lived in such a way where the enemy can't touch us in our soul. I pray that every string that is tied between us and the enemy would be severed. I pray that every string where the enemy has control over our peace, over our joy, over our love, over our kindness, over our gentleness. I pray that every string would just be severed in the name of Jesus. Pour your power into us. Fill us again and again and again. Thank you that this is your promise. Thank you. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. One last thing. I'm not going to get into it. Just going to say this. I know we all know this already, but it needs to be said. Yes, sometimes the Lord does this in our lives in a moment. And when he does that, praise God. That's really good. That's nice. But often it's a process. He draws us close to him. And that drawing process takes time. And there are things that we can do to walk that out in a more healthy manner, but we won't get into those today. Just please understand that. The power of an indestructible life, I pray that over each of you. Amen. Blessings.